When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from BBC Studios, the commercial subsidiary of the BBC. Hello, and welcome to the BBC Studios TalentWorks podcast, presented to you by me, Brona Monaghan.
And me, Helen O'Donnell.
This is an interview series with digital talent. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. Our first episode is with Joe Sugg. This was recorded in September 2018, and we talk about everything from Joe's YouTube channel, his management company, to, at the time, his debut on Strictly Come Dancing. Joe is one of the UK's most celebrated YouTube creators with over 8 million subscribers on his channel. Joe's passions vary from comedy to music to gaming, but the word that brings his output together is entertainment. His love of entertainment has manifested in projects such as his graphic novel series, username Evie, which was the fastest selling graphic novel, a record that he basically created. He starred in the Hit the Road films with his roommate and best friend Casper Lee, which went on to tour the UK and Australia as a live show. He launched a successful merchandise line, Sugg Life, with his sister Zoe Sugg, aka Zoella. And most recently, he's being announced as part of this year's Strictly Come Dancing, the ultimate entertainment show on television. So today we're going to talk to Joe about what being a creator means to him and how he's been able to build his childhood dreams into a reality and an incredibly successful career as one of the early adopters of YouTube.
Thanks for coming on, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, always a pleasure. So we wanted to talk about creativity with you. When do you think you first realised you were creative?
I used to always love drawing. I was very, very into drawing, and that's what made me a lot of friends in school, because I was the kid in school who could draw, like cartoons. And even looking back through like old, because you know you keep all your old artwork and stuff when you're younger and stuff. Found all that in the loft. It's now my nan's house, cluttering up her spare room. But it's found all that, and it was like, my drawings, even for that age, like a five-year-old, was always quite good, quite a high level. And I've got very creative parents in different fields. Like my dad's very creative in terms of his sense of humour and like comedy and stuff. Whereas my mum is very creative. Like she makes silver jewellery at the moment, and she's always painting. She does really good watercolour paintings and stuff like that. So it's always been in the family. Well, growing up, when I was like sort of 14, 15, I grew up loving, I watched a lot of skateboarding videos and remember the TV show Jackass?
Yeah.
Like that, for me, was like, I just wanted to, even though they said, don't recreate the stuff, you're going to do it anyway. So me and my cousin used to make videos like Jackass, jumping hedges, like trying to do tricks
parkour.
On skateboards. Yeah, like parkour, that kind of stuff. And then, and we filmed these videos, but we didn't have anywhere to put it. We put music to it, edited it and that kind of thing in like Windows Movie Maker, like back in the day, but didn't have anywhere to put it. And saying that, me and my sister also bought a load of blank cassette tapes and just used to make our own little radio stations and stuff. Or like plays. We'd like play characters on these tapes. I really wish I could find them, because there's a whole
gold
video in that. That'd be so gold.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Are they definitely gone?
Yeah, I think so. I just can't find them anywhere. But I think, yeah, that kind of stuff, we were always putting on plays for our parents and using our parents' camcorder to film whatever we could. We used to go on holidays to Portugal, and Zoe actually filmed, she actually vlogged. She has a video on her channel of her like showing her first ever vlog, and it was like she was filming herself being like, so we're just off to this restaurant now, and like with this giant camcorder. And at the time we were like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And like, now it's like, we were literally, well, Zoe especially was vlogging before it was even a thing.
Yeah.
And obviously YouTube came along, and there's a place you could then put your videos and they could be seen by strangers, and like rated. Back then it was like ratings, like 5-star ratings and stuff. And then she got quite big on it. Obviously, started off the blog, then went in to make videos. And then off the back of that, she showed me people like Alfie, Casper, like Jim, Marcus, like all their videos, being like, Joe, look what these guys are doing. Like, this is their like career kind of thing. I guess, actually, no, even back then it wasn't a career.
Yeah.
For the fun of it. And they were like making it, I guess, like a little bit of money for the side. And I was thinking, cool, I could do that. That's what we did growing up anyway. I thought, you know, I'll give it a go. Gave it a go, and now it's Now I'm on your yeah. podcast.
And was whenever you watched all of those guys' videos, was there a kind of thing like, oh, I'd quite like to replicate something that they're doing? Or did you think, actually, I'd like to put a spin on it? Or did you have a plan of what your channel could potentially be?
Yeah, I think even from day one, I didn't really know what I wanted my channel to be.
Yeah.
And there was stuff that I wanted to do, but I, with everyone's ideas, I always try and put a spin on it. Because I think for me, a big part of the channel is being original. And I think that's mm-hmm. the kind of, that's the, I think when you ask people what my channel's about and what I'm known for on YouTube, it's either like the pranks.
Yeah.
Or like, they always say that I'm the one that comes up with like new ideas.
Yeah.
I always see like comments being like, you're so creative. Like, how do you think of these ideas? And I don't know. It's just like, I think it's just from when I just see things in general, I always in the back of my mind think of how can you make that entertaining? Mm-hmm. How can you make that into yeah. an idea?
What's the format?
Yeah, exactly. Which is cool.
That's really cool. Because I think that, like, me and Helen talk about this quite a lot, and we're saying that YouTube is such an amazing platform to test formats, because it's almost yeah. like, hey, what would I want my dream to be? Mm. And you've got an audience there that you get immediate feedback
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
And even like, I guess that's the tricky thing about being a creative as well, because there's probably stuff that you really want to do yeah. and then you might put it out there and your audience just says, oh, I just want you to do the stuff that you do. Oh,
yeah, that's the thing. They still, like, what I've realised
Prank
well,
Casper again.
An audience of that size,
yeah.
you can't keep everyone happy.
No.
And there's always going to be people that won't like new things, because people naturally don't like change. And I always want to evolve and do new things. I never like to do one thing too many times.
Mm-hmm.
But people still were like, do another one of these. And like, yeah. did that like the last one did that
yeah.
like, 3 years ago. Like,
can you think of examples where you've taken creative risks? Like at the time you were like, oh gosh, this feels like a stretch.
Yeah. There's been a few videos that I've like, I always find the videos where I put more effort in, like, and more production behind it, never do as well. And they're always a bit of a risk. But I did a video last, I think it was last year now, where I rented a boxing ring. And completely like light-proofed it, so it was pitch black, and got like a UV camera and had like a box, because mm-hmm. boxing was obviously and still is like,
yeah.
at the moment. I tried to jump on that wave and do a blindfolded boxing, like not blindfolded yeah. but like kind of like it's pitch black so they couldn't see each other, but yeah. the audience can, and it didn't, and it was one of the first videos I think that didn't sort of smash it straight away. It was a real slow burn, and I was sort of like, it's typical, it's the one video
yeah
where, I got really, really excited about the idea. But then I'll do a video where, you know, I put a shock pad on someone and then give them questions about, like, females.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
kind of thing. If they get it wrong, they get, like, a contraction.
Yeah.
And it just smashes it. And
yeah.
And that's, like, such a simple idea, but it did so much better than something that you put a lot more time and effort into.
And what about off-platform? So you've obviously done your book, you did the mm. film, you've done live shows. Did they feel like risks at the time? Like,
They did. Sort of, but I think we just the good thing was I was never the first. There was always someone before me that did that kind of thing before, except for the films. Obviously, everyone was at the time was bringing a book out.
Yeah.
But I think what was good with me was it was something that was quite close to my, like, I grew up reading comics. Like, there's just, that was my thing because of the drawing.
Yeah.
All these comics as well, and because of that, I remember the meetings that we had with Hodda, the publisher, and they knew as well that I didn't want to do a standard book, especially not about myself either. That's not the sort of thing that I'd want to do yet anyway, because I just don't think it's a bit too early for that. And so we both sort of agreed that this is much more my sort of thing. It's a bit of a risk, because it's a completely different genre
yeah.
as well. I didn't know how it's going to do. Because at the time, it's like, it's the audience, I thought, they are just more into you. So it's like maybe yeah. hard to sell a book that's not about you, because they, yeah. you know, they watch you for you. So a lot of other YouTuber books did really, really well. I mean, mine smashed it, which mm-hmm. is great. But it would have been an easier and less risky to do a book that's about me with pictures of me in it and stuff. Because in the day, the audience, the younger ones especially, that's what they want.
Yeah.
But you've got to find that balance of what they want, but also what you want. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. And now that you're working with talent through Margravine yeah. Management, which, if people listening don't know what that is, that is yours and Casper Lee's talent management company.
Yes.
Now that you're working with talent, would you then have that in mindset? They say, Joe, I want to start, I don't know, like a bouncy castle business.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take off.
Like, how do you know about the bouncy castle? Who told you? That is, I think that's the main thing about what we're doing, is, and the main thing that makes it attractive to people that are looking to get managed by people, is the fact that it's fronted by two, well, we're now, I guess we're now classed as like OGs, or,
like the old, which is old crazy.
It just moves so quick, but it's like, I think if I was a young, like when I signed to my previous management, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just did it because Zoe was with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, cool, easy. Job done. Zoe's all right with it. I'm all right with it. But obviously, I was lucky to have my sister to advise me on stuff like that. But there's so many creators up and coming now who have no idea. And I get so many DMs from people being like friends of mine who are smaller creators being like, do you know this person? Are they like a legit company? Like, they don't know.
Yeah.
We're in such an era now where, you know, people can try and like fleece you and that kind of thing, and especially online, it's all like you never really know who to trust and that kind of thing.
And do you feel like you've built up an awareness of that?
I've learned so much about management and about how that kind of side of it, the business side of it, works. But my main thing is obviously being creative. So I think my official role is creative director.
Oh, hello. Great title.
That looks great on the old Tinder bio. The whole idea is that we're like act as mentors.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the people in place that are going to act as obviously the main managers and stuff. But me and Casper's roles are to advise, more or less, and help boost them as much as we can. So it'd be that coming up with video ideas for more thinking, like how can you, like my whole thing that I want to do is help create formats on their channels. So if we've got like a girl who's into like fashion, what I want to do is sit down with the creator and be like, let's try and think of something you can do on your channel as a series that is so original and new that no one else is doing. Then you own that. And then, who knows, sponsors will be interested in it because it's a format. Like, sponsors nowadays, they want formats. That's what they want. They want IP that they can take hold of.
Which is interesting because that's really no different to TV. Like, TV wants returnable series, which is almost the same thing that what you're describing.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Did you have your eye on anyone that you wanted to manage?
We've had this idea for so long, and obviously the viewers and the people that watch us they never really understand how long this process has been going on for. It's been a long, long time. So they don't understand that we were already like looking at people to sign. Once we announced it.
Right.
So at the moment, they're all like people that like are friends anyway. So we had to have people be like, oh, just sign your mates. It's like, well, yeah, we have to start, you know,
somewhere.
With somewhere. But
and whose channels you're invested in.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we're in their videos anyway, and it kind of just makes sense. And, like, we have their, like, best interests and that kind of thing. But through, like, things like, especially, like, Mark Gravine's, like, Instagram account, we just have so many people that have come forward and be like, here's my channel, like, check me out. And it's basically doing, like, the work for us. Like, mm-hmm. rather than just having to go out and try and find people and try and get an interview with them, or, like, try and sit down with them and meet them, it's so much easier to do it through that and find them and that kind of thing.
How many submissions would you say you're getting a day?
I'd have to ask. Casper's in control.
Oh, is he?
No. He's not let you have the login.
No, so he's in control. But he said it's like mad. There's so much. And the Instagram account, like, the followers went so, like, much more. We had a production company Instagram account, and it just surpassed that within, like, days, because it's everyone's interested. They see it as kind of like a, this is our chance that mm-hmm. we could be seen. This could be great for us. But almost like, I get, like, kind of like a little bit like X Factory kind of vibes.
Yeah.
As in, like, we're like the judges, like, trying to find the next big YouTube or whatever, which is cool. If that's the way it's going, I don't know, but It's just, it's cool. But it's weird as well for me, because obviously I'm still a content creator myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got to, like, obviously split my time between managing, but also doing my own thing. So there's going to be times where I'm like, I've got this really awesome idea, but it won't really work for my channel. But it would work for this person.
It's
kind of like songwriting.
Yeah,
I feel like it's like writing a song, but you think, I mean, this is a cool song, but
not for me.
Not for me. It'd be great for someone else. That's the kind of world I want to live in.
I think that actually that role of creative director is so necessary in the digital talent industry, because I think so many people will come from traditional backgrounds and think, well, I know how to manage talent, but it's such a different creative output. Yeah. To come up with those format ideas, and it's almost you obviously are always going to need your business minded people, but there's also so much to be said for being able to speak to your manager in a creative way and for them to understand, I can't actually come up with anything this week, or like or those times when you feel really deflated or uninspired. And so it does take for almost to wear like a manager hat, but then also like a producer hat, and also then like the commercial hat. And I feel like if anybody was going to start a digital talent agency now, there has to be a creative department in it.
Yeah, especially like to warrant like commission being taken.
Yeah,
you've got to be sort of giving, like, doing all you've, like, obviously like managing, but also that's what I look forward to, is like the sitting down, like a big goal for me would be sitting down with a talent and creating something that's massive for their channel and is like, gets the sponsorship or becomes a show on Netflix or something, that'd be like, for me, that's the goal.
So in terms of like businessman Joe, is it difficult to manage if some of your friends?
Do you know what? At the moment, no. It's not too bad. Because I'm more of like the mentor kind of role as well, I'm not too much involved with all the like actual like negotiations and that kind of thing. I can give my advice like, for Mikey the other day, what should I give my advice about? He had something that came up, and I was like, do you know what would be great? Because I can't remember what the chat was about it, but there was a little bit of umming and ahhing about a certain thing. And I said to him, I said, look, from my point of view, do this, get me and Casper involved in it. We'll be in it with you, and we'll just try and make it as big as we can, as best as we can. And then what you'll realise is that will actually then open up more doors in the future with whoever that is and this kind of thing. So it's like little things like that is like what I think it's all about for us.
Yeah, because it's almost like you'll probably have experienced most of the situations that they're going through now.
That's the whole thing, is that if they say, I want to do a book deal, I'll be like, cool, this is what I learned from my mistakes. But I was like, avoid this, do this. Like from my personal point of view, I did this and it worked really, really well. Like, that's, I think, what gives us an extra edge in that whole management space, is that we have a lot of first-hand knowledge about what they're going through. Because it all sort of popped up. So like in the last sort of 6 years, everyone is just going with it. Like, it's such a new platform. It's such a new form of media. Everyone's just like guessing.
Goes rogue
Everyone's
a little
guessing.
Bit.
Everyone's sort of thinking, well, I hope this is the way it's going at the moment. Let's do this.
Yeah. It's amazing that you were thinking about that at the time of Hit the Road as well.
Yeah, a long time. It's weird that, like, some of the conversations we have, we look back now and think, oh my God, it all, like, this is this.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Good fun. It's weird going from, like the last 2 years of, like, really getting into the business side of it.
But that's interesting because from the outside, people might be like, oh, it's a bubble. Look what the, you know, but it's like at the time, you're still thinking, okay, what's my next move? What's my next move going
to
be?
Yeah, you have to like think ahead.
Yeah.
Is there anyone on the roster at the minute that reminds you of like you and your friends in the early days?
No, not really. Not really at the moment. Good thing is like the roster already is. Very like different types of content being created,
yeah.
Which I think is quite cool. I really want to find a group that's like ours,
okay,
but yeah. Like youngsters, so yeah. Like 16 to 18 year olds, like group of guys who, you know, just get up to mischief, mm-hmm. get up to fun, just film it, and they've got like a really good, clear like. Connection.
Chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be loads of 16-year-olds all like, come on, let's join a gang.
What I'm looking for. If you know anyone, parent, get your kids. Come on, your kids.
It's magic, isn't it, though? They get, like, it is all about like the chemistry and the bonds between people as much as it is who they are.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think people see through that. People see. But the thing is now, as well, when you're starting a channel, people know what it's like to be a big YouTuber now. They know the pros from it,
mm-hmm. yeah.
So I mean, they know what to expect now. Whereas when we started, we didn't know any of this, so we did it purely because it was a good laugh. We're enjoying it. We're like, oh my God, we can literally film our lives. It's cool, and we can watch back on it when we're older, which I thought was great. But now people know about it, so I think it's quite clear to see who is doing it because it's a great job and it, or it's like well mm-hmm. paid if you're top of your game kind of thing. And obviously the fans and that kind of thing, like people want that. They want to be like famous and stuff online.
I know, and it's always those moments, I guess, when they turn up for their first meet and greet, and there's loads of people there. Yeah, like exactly. That's always the first kind of exciting moment. Because in a way, I don't want to get on a downer, but it's almost like it is sad in a way that we've had that wave and now people see immediately as it, right, I'm gonna make this into a business. It's almost like just enjoy being creative and growing your audience and try not to think too much. Because as a 16-year-old, you don't want to think too much about commercial things.
No,
and
exactly. But they do at the moment. Yeah. They're
savvy.
They think of the brand deals and all this kind of stuff. You think, Christ, scary.
Yeah. So is there anybody outside of your own roster who you think's really killing it at the moment in the digital space?
I feel like that. I think America is still obviously like, I always seen America as like a few years ahead of the UK in terms of like just everything. When you go out to LA, you just sense it. It's so much more accepted in America. I think the UK is still like quite a scary thing for everyone like who doesn't understand it. But in America, they just get it. So there's a lot of Americans YouTubers that are just killing it at the moment. They're all doing really, really well. I think in the UK, I've always really enjoyed the Sidemen, what they do. I think that what they do is really, really good. There are a few YouTubers, I can't remember their names, but they all do these like trends. And so they're very good at like following the trends of what's cool, like, and they're so on it. I wish I was that on it. I feel like I've sort of slipped a bit. I'm sort of like, what are the kids doing nowadays? Oh, they're hiding in their own houses for 24 hours. Like their parents seeing, and you watch it and it's like,
is that an actual thing?
It's an actual thing. It's hiding your house, so you pretend that you've left the house, and then you actually climb back in through your window and hide in the house.
Ultimate hide and seek
without your parents knowing and stuff.
And then what's the payoff?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I'm starting to get to that age where I'm starting to not understand like fidget spinners, slime, pancake art. I'm like, I don't know all this stuff.
Yeah,
bring back the hot knife. Welcome to that.
But then also on the flip side, you don't. Yes, it's good to kind of be part of a trend for one moment, but you don't want to be so reliant on trends.
That's
because then you're not setting a kind of.
Yeah.
You're not creating a brand.
The amount of times where I think, look, I could do a video with like when the hot knife thing was cool. Like, I had a ton of ideas, but I was kind of like, I didn't really want to. I don't know why, but I don't like following trends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always with everything. I'm always a bit either way too late for it, or I want to be like one of the first to do it.
Do you have a creative process?
it's quite sporadic.
Okay.
Yeah, not really. I used to watch, growing up, watch a lot of like game shows, like TV shows, like things like, one of my favorite shows that gets me creative and like what one that I've always respected is Shooting Stars with Vic Reeves and Bob.
Yeah.
Like their humor is very much also my dad's humor. That's why I think my humor is slightly like that as well sometimes. And some of the stuff they come up with, like, I love the ideas where it's such a simple, stupid idea, but because they're so funny with it, it makes it fun.
They also really commit to stuff, don't they? Yeah. So if they've got an idea, they're like, right, we're in this, yeah. As opposed to being a bit like of a halfway house about something. I think especially when things are filmed, you can really tell if someone's only going it a bit of the way.
There's one, I watched an episode from ages ago, and there's one bit they did, it's like the finale. So the winner had to stand on this like plinth with a toy, like a toy shield, like a kid's toy shield, and a helmet, like a knight's helmet or whatever. And they had animals, like stuffed animals on like these strings, and like flew them at them, just sort of like a water bowl on a string. And they'd release it and it would go down and hit the shield. Like, the plinth. Do you know what I mean? It's such a stupid idea, but it's like, it's hilarious to watch. And they get bigger and bigger until they got to like a, I don't know, like a warthog or something. And obviously that crashing in knocked them off. And that was like, I was like, you could, like, no one's done that on YouTube.
No.
And then I did a similar idea with JJ.
Yeah.
KSI, where we were on a chair, toy shield, toy helmet. but it was more like we had loads of different objects. We had, like, lettuces. We had, like, tennis balls. And, like, you just had to try and stay on the chair and you could pull up the chair. So it's things like that. Like growing up, I used to love shows like that, like silly like shows, and think, how can you? As well, I always notice from sitcoms. So I watch a lot of sitcoms as well, like things like The Young Ones. I used to love The Young Ones, like all those old school ones, like even like My Family, and that, like throughout the ages, watching all different sitcoms. And I noticed that they're all just the same storylines, a lot of these, but just with different characters.
Yeah,
they tweak it slightly, but it's all fundamentally the same situation.
Just to go back to your video with JJ then, how did you say to, like, what is the process of making that happen? Like, did you show the original?
I didn't know, that's the thing, I didn't show it to him. I just sort of,
yeah,
that's what they did, how can I sort of do that, replicate this but put my own sort of spin on it,
yeah,
turn it into more of a current, like, newer thing.
Yeah.
And that's just how I do it, really. And then just sort of explain the idea. A lot of the time with my friends, I don't explain the idea till they're in my house.
Right. Then and then they can't leave.
Right, you can't leave. Right, put this electric shock collar on. That kind of thing. But I noticed that you could do the same thing with the situation comedy, the sitcoms, with video ideas on YouTube. Like, there's so many ideas that were so great, and what made TV shows what they were, you can redo that, put a new, like, YouTube spin on it, and it would do well.
Yeah.
Redoing the whole thing.
So at the moment, you've just started Strictly.
Yes, I'm in full training.
Yeah. So this is, like, again, a real, like, step change for you, right?
Yes.
So what made you want to do Strictly?
Weirdly, that I wrote on my phone a list of pros and cons, because there's been times in the past, I don't know if they've asked me before, I can't remember, but I know there was something that they wanted to get me involved with, and I said, look, I don't want to do any of these shows. I said, but if I did do one later on down, because I thought back then, this was like 2015, I was like, we were sort of, me and Casper, like the prime of the pranks and stuff, and I was like, it's just not, we were like smashing it on YouTube, I was like, I just want to focus on this right now.
Yeah.
I said, but do you know what, if I was going to do any of them, it would be that one, because it's like, you're actually learning a skill, and it's like, it's the biggest TV show
of
the year. It's so, like, I've heard, like, nothing but good things about it. It's, like, apparently it's, like, life-changing. You meet so many cool, amazing people and that kind of thing. I said, so if I had to do one, it would do that. It would be that one. And then they wanted a meeting with me. And at the time, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to go in because I want to meet them anyway, because I'm working on, like, show ideas. And it'd be great to obviously meet the people at the BBC, and, like, if I ever want to submit a show or something like that, it's great to make those connections and
network.
Exactly, yeah. And then I got there, I met them both. It was Steph and
Louise Rainbow.
Yeah. And they were so lovely. Straight away I got that sort of family vibe from them, like really nice, like, vibe. And I left just being like, have I just had my mind changed? Like, I went in to basically sort of be like, thanks, really, like, really respect, thanks, but, you know, it's not for me, can't dance. And left being like, this might actually happen.
Aww.
And then further on down the line, I wrote, like, the main thing as well, I spoke to, like, because I couldn't tell anyone, but I did speak to, like, my sister, because I wanted to know her opinion from a YouTuber perspective, and also, like, my parents and, like, my mates from back home. And they were like, well, my grandparents, my mum was like, Nan and Grandad would love it. Because obviously they do understand YouTube, but, like, for them, that's, like, such a big thing for them. Mm-hmm. It's, like, something that they know and love and that kind of thing. My Nan, who's 95, she used to dance at Blackpool when she was in her 20s.
Oh, that's so nice.
So I was like, if I could get to that point, that's quite far into the competitions, but if I can,
yeah.
It'd be so nice to try and, like,
yeah,
cart her up. I mean, she doesn't do very well. She's like a Deliveroo meal. She doesn't travel very well. I mean, they're never as nice when they travel. But yeah, so, and then my mates, sorry, I just burped. My mates, I knew they would, like, actually rip it into me, and they have. They've gone, like, hard on me on the whole outfits and everything. But I know that's what a real mate is. Like, they don't, they know deep down that what I'm doing is really cool, and they're really supportive, but they're just, give me a lot of stick. But it's and then other things, like, they're all my mates getting married. They're all, because we're at that age now, when this probably goes out, I'll be 27.
Yeah,
we're all getting married back home. And I think it'd be nice to, like, after you do the first dance, to then actually be able to dance.
Yeah,
like, it's definitely quite a cool thing to look like to learn. And I put down, like, potential girlfriend. I might get a girlfriend out of it. You know, it's like the list was quite, like, really, like, scraping the barrel. But it was, like, the pros, like, massively outweighed the cons. Like, I think the only con I had was, like, lack of social time. So I wouldn't be able to, I'll be training so hard. Mm-hmm. But then you're socializing with your partner and, like, everyone on the show and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I still speak to all the boys
all
the time anyway. The other thing was, what else was it? I can't remember. I think that was, like, one of the only ones. That and, like, lack of you. I was worried that it might affect my channel.
Right.
But that's all fine. I can still make videos and stuff, which is really cool. I think it'd be really cool as well to show, like, a behind the scenes kind of what it's like for a dance couple or whatever.
So do you think are you vlogging the experience?
I'm gonna do what I can. I think I've got to check, obviously, make sure it's okay with them and stuff. But it's I think that's part of the reason why they were really keen on me to be on the show is I'm a different breed of entertainment.
Yeah.
Because the reaction when I got announced was very, very... I'm, like, the most, like, controversial announcement I think they've ever had.
That's everyone
was
so, like, funny.
Who? But it's really funny. Like, it's all the people over a certain age. And it's completely understandable. And I don't blame them for saying that. Because, like, when I've ever watched the show, there's always been so many people on there that I don't know.
Yeah.
And for the youngsters, they don't know who a lot of the contestants are on the show either. But it's, like, it's funny how the attitude of the older generation compared to the younger generation. The younger ones are so, like, mature about it, being like, there's, like, this, like, 45-year-old lady, like, going, I don't know him. I paid for TV license. I don't know him. I want my money back. And it's like, calm down, Shirley. And then it's like the youngsters are going, like, well, I don't know who this person is, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to, as soon as episode one starts, you know, I'll get to know them.
Oh, right. Very mature.
And, and they're like, oh, I'm by the way, like, Joe's a ambassador for Age UK. Like, just a reminder, you know, like, and it's like completely, like, it's just, I don't know.
Some people just take these things too seriously.
They do, yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a TV show. It's going to run for 3 months of the year. After that, we'll be forgotten about. It'll be the next one to look forward to. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't, it's a tiny blip in my life.
Or Shirley might be a new subscriber for you.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Is it Shirley?
Shirley Wallace, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember.
So we've got one last question.
Cool.
What piece of advice would you give to future creators?
I would say to future creators, don't ever box yourself into one thing. Don't say, I'm the person who does this, and that's it. Always keep your options open. Always think. Like, I do so many other things. Like, I don't just box myself into doing YouTube. I've done, obviously, the books, I've done the films, and, like, now doing dancing. It's like, I've never want to be known as one. And I think another person does it really well is JJ. Like, he's never just one thing. People ask him, what do you do? You're a YouTuber. He's like, well, no, I do so many different things. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just box yourself into one thing. I do, at the moment, I love doing art. So I've started, I'll show you, like, spray painted, like, been getting to, like, my sort of arts and stuff, which is really cool, back to, like, the whole drawing thing.
Yeah.
But then it's, like, thinking, and that's because I genuinely love it, and obviously the music stuff as well. Like, I've recently started this Spotify account called 1 Hour Band.
Okay.
So we've got, like, a paper in a hat, you pull it out, it's the style of music. Then you've got another one, which is the subject. And then you, within an hour, or around an hour, we're quite loose, we try and write a song, record it. And it's an idea that I've seen before. Like, yeah. I think my friend Simon did it before, and that's how I got the idea. But I put a twist on it of, like, we don't know what we're going to get, and that's what we've got to make the song about. And then putting that out as we filmed a video for it, okay, and put it on a channel, but it's also got the links through to, like, Apple and Spotify and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. It's something that we're, especially the other music stuff as well that me and Byron are doing, we're doing that because it's fun. It's like downtime stuff. But then it's always like, you can make a business out of it. Mm-hmm. You can make a business out of anything. Like, if something that you're passionate about and you're actually having fun doing, you can turn it. It's always good to, I always think, if you're enjoying something a lot, think about how you can turn it into a business, but don't ever box yourself into one thing. You can do anything.
I like it.
No one should say that you have to do that one thing for the rest of your life.
Absolutely not.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Joe, for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about us, we're on Instagram at BBC Studios Talentworks.
This podcast is produced by Shola Aleje for BBC Studios.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.